Man, that's good to hear. I mean, I'll use that. Amen. Man, it's good to be here. Amen. Y'all be praying. I told them, I said, I'm trying to rent the Ryman Auditorium in Tennessee. I've already had a contract with them. I've got a burden for the Ryman family because they're all Methodists. I started to tell you last night about the Methodist Church. And I want to try to rent the Ryman Auditorium in Nashville, Tennessee. That's where the Grand Ole Opry was and all that. I went there and looked over. I talked to the CEO on the phone, and he said, how cool would that be, Ryman at the Ryman? And the reason why I did it, not just so we could have, I was telling those guys, not so we can just say we had a meeting there. I wanted to see people saved. I was so grieved being there. I had my grandkids with me, and we went through the Ryman Auditorium, and I walked through there, and I was kind of grieved because out in the streets, everybody's drinking, and I mean, just like a Mardi Gras. And it was just terrible. And I walked out, and I apologized to my grandkids. I said, I'm sorry for bringing you all around here. I'm sorry. But I walked outside, and I was looking at the sign. They have a sandwich sign out front there, and I was looking at it, and I thought, you know what I could do? I want to make it where everybody can come in free. And y'all pray for that, about that. I already had people commit to it. I don't know what I'm going to do it yet. I don't know when we're going to do it, and I'm going to try to do it next year. They had a sandwich sign outside, and I thought, well, I'm going to put that, we'll put a sandwich sign out there and invite everybody in free. There's a guy named Andy Lefwich. He used to back up Ricky Skaggs. I like bluegrass. I like old bluegrass. I like that stuff. I like he used to have a thing, a stained glass bluegrass up in Washington, D.C. I like to hear bluegrass and singing. I thought, well, I'll put a sign out there. And then this guy, Andy Lefwich, he used to back up Ricky Skaggs for like 15 years. And him and his wife got a touch on him. I mean, tell you what, they sing. They're supposed to be at our meeting next year. I heard them sing at Brother Chandler's, and, man, they got a touch on them. I listened to their CD right down the road, shouting and getting, screaming and all kinds of stuff. And it's a good CD because God's on it. And I like music that God's on. Amen. I don't like the other junk that people put out. I've had some CDs, people come up and give it to me. They say, here's our CD. I want you to listen to it. And I listened to it, and I thought, oh, man, this is terrible. I throw it out the window. And just ride down the road, throw it out the window. Well, what's the matter? I got it turned around. Oh, I got it turned up.
Yeah, pull it up here.
All right. So, anyway, Andy Lefwich called me about a couple months ago, or maybe about a month or so ago, called me up, and he said, Ricky Skaggs, which is his uncle, his wife's uncle, and said, when is that guy Ryman going to do that thing at the Ryman Auditorium? I said, well, and the pressure's on, and I've had people commit, said they want to help. I just need to figure out when. Well, I want to make sure when God wants me to do it. But I want to try to reach Rymans. I want to try to reach lost people. I want to have a meeting to have lost people get saved. That's what I want. Now, this place will seat 2,500 people, and it's a if you don't know about the Ryman Auditorium, Thomas Ryman ended up in Nashville, and Sam Jones was an old-time Methodist preacher. If you read about these old-time Methodist preachers, Sam Jones went there and started preaching. People were getting saved, and it was cutting, the liquor and all that stuff. They were preaching against liquor and all, and so Thomas Ryman, he's a relative. I thought at one point he was my uncle, great-great-great-great-great uncle back in there. We look alike. He ended up going to go confront Sam Jones and kind of stop him from preaching, and he's going to tell him, give him a piece of his mind, and he goes out and gets saved. He gets saved, and he has river boats. He has like 10 river boats, and they had gambling on it and liquor and all that stuff, so he quit all that, and he built Sam Jones a house right next to him. And man, he said, we need to have a building that'll hold a lot of people in the middle of Nashville. And that's where they built the Ryman Auditorium. And the Ryman Auditorium was going downhill because it just kind of died out. It was called the Gospel Tabernacle. And then they named it the Ryman Auditorium. And so, then the Grand Ole Opry got involved in it. And now they own it. They own the building. So I want to rent it for 3 days, like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and try to have a revival meeting, what it was originally set up for. And I was in there with my grandkids. I started singing. I stood behind the mic. I started singing. Everybody in the whole place, there's a couple hundred people in there. They stopped what they're doing. They turned around and looked over the platform. The guy that was taking pictures, he went, oh, boy, like that, And I started singing, and then when I finished singing, everybody started clapping and cheering. I went, thank you very much. You know, so I thought it'd be cool to do that. Amen. But to see somebody say, every Saturday night, I get together with a couple guys, and we go into church, and we are at the church, and we pray. We always pray, God send us a surprise. God send us a surprise in. See somebody get saved. We pray that. We pray God bring some people back that's been out, people that got out. That's a good thing to start praying on Saturday night. You can do it at your house. Do it at 5 o'clock. We do it at 5 o'clock every Saturday night. We get together and go to the church, get on the altar and cry and beg God to send somebody in to get saved. We beg God for somebody to come back. We've been seeing that happen. People that got out, people that get going astray, that kind of thing. And you start asking God. I always pray, God, give us a surprise, but a good one. Because I've had some bad surprises on Sunday morning. And I may have had some bad ones. And I don't know if I told you all this story. I think I told the guys this. I said, one Sunday morning, I had a guy that his wife was running around on him with a guy sitting on the front row. His wife was sitting in the back. And this other boy, the husband of the woman, they were sitting over here. And he kept saying, he told me on Saturday, he come to talk to me on Saturday. He said, my wife's running around with so-and-so in the church. And I said, really? So I said, let me handle it. I'll handle it. And most people don't let the preacher handle things. They'll mess it up. And this guy, to make a long story short, he stands up in the middle of the service while I'm getting ready to start services. He says, I've got something to say. And I went, not now, man, not now. And he goes, I'm going to say it anyway. My wife jumps up, and she's got a taser, and she's going to tase this guy. And this Puerto Rican girl sitting right behind it grew up around our house and everything. She pulls out a knife. And then all these people started running towards this guy, going to shut him up. And I went, stop, stop, stop. Everybody stop. We had a big guy in the back named Big Bob. He was trying to hold everybody back. And this guy, he starts saying, my wife is running around with so-and-so sitting on the front row. I looked at him. I went, oh, you man. And I knew this boy running around with his wife, you know, a couple of times. I went and begged her not to leave and all that stuff. But he was a mess. And anyway, he started telling, I said, tell it. Go ahead. Tell it. So he says, my wife's doing this and she's sitting over here. And I said, okay, you finished? And his mama jumps up and she goes, she right in the middle of service. She said, I think they're sleeping together like that. And I went, okay, all right. And I looked at his wife. I said, you want to reconcile with your husband? Because I knew he's done this to her many times. And I said, you want to reconcile with your husband? She said, nope. And I said, well, there you got it, boy. You open your big mouth, you mess it up. And they ran out of the building cussing and going all crazy. Some crazy girl that was in the bathroom come out and they got arguing out there, and they went out of the building, and I said, well, that settles it. This morning I'm preaching on fornication and adultery. And I preached on that. And what was crazy, I mean, you talk about, you pray for your preacher, because I mean, I felt like I was in a fog. Yeah. And right in the middle of the thing, and they, matter of fact, they go out for 10 minutes, they come back in, and while I'm preaching on fornication and adultery, they're amening me. And they're amen in me and all this stuff. And we end up having two people get saved that morning. I preach on fornication and adultery. Two people get saved. And we had visitors and everything. And my son was standing at the door. My youngest son, he's preaching tomorrow. And my oldest son is preaching tonight. And my grandson's preaching tonight. And my son-in-law is preaching tomorrow. My son's standing at the door shaking hands and said, I hope this doesn't stop you from coming back to our church. And the guy comes out and he goes, is that your father up there? He goes, yeah, that's my dad. He goes, man, I'm telling you what, he's good. He's good. He said, what are you talking about? He goes, man, to handle that the way he did. He said, man, that was good. So I got up in front of our church Sunday night. And I said, hey, y'all pray for me. I'm taking a part-time job in New York. I said, Jerry Springer needs a fill-in for his... So, the ministry can be very interesting, especially where, you know, and I always say, Lord, bring something exciting, and he does, and it's in my life. So, but take your Bible, look in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, 1 Chronicles 28. I'm going to preach to you a little bit tonight. I'm going to give my brother enough time. You know, the Bible says that we're supposed to love the brotherhood, and we love each other, and I'll tell you what, I love everybody. I really do. I sit and look at people, and I think, my God, don't let them die and go to hell. I went to give a lady a track in the mall. Not in the mall. What am I saying? The mall. In the hotel today. And she said, and when they say, no, I don't need that, what I do is I give my testimony to them. I start giving my testimony. She goes, well, I'm glad you You've got peace now. And I said, thank you. Appreciate that. I hope you get it. And, you know, and I leave tracks everywhere, just kind of trying to be a witness, man. I just want to be a witness. And so I told you that for some reason. I don't know what my mind went blank. What did I say? What was I talking about? Oh, yeah. You know, I love everybody. And I said, man, I don't want to hate nobody. Hatred, like this boy that Hamas is fighting right now. And this boy that's on, they just had him on Fox News. He's not a boy no more, but he was talking about how he grew up all his life. He grew up all his life being, his father was the head of Hamas. And he was on Fox News just recently. He's like a 30-some-year-old man now. But he said this. He said all his life, all he heard was hate, 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 hate. And he said, man, and when he went to jail in Jerusalem, they put him in jail for throwing rocks at the police and the security forces. And he found himself not hating the Jews. He said, and he got out of there, and he said he came by somebody in Old Jerusalem. I've been to Old Jerusalem, and somebody stepped out and gave him a flyer and said, hey, we're having a Bible study over here in such and such place. He thought, okay, I'll take that. And he thought, I'll give this to my dad so we'll know where these Christians are so we can kill them. And so he goes off and, you know, and goes to this Bible study. And he said, the guy gets up and reads Matthew chapter 5, and he said, Jesus said, love your enemies, do good to them that despitefully use you. Man, he said, read that again? He said, I've never heard love your enemies. I never heard that in all my life. And he said, he ended up getting saved. That guy did. After about three services going to that service, he ended up getting saved. You know, he said, love your enemies, do good to them that despitefully use you. So, you know, we're supposed to love everybody. We're supposed to love everybody. But, you know, I found a loophole in the Bible. I found a loophole. I don't have to like everybody. I don't have to like everybody. And you don't either. And you don't have to like everybody. You're supposed to love everybody, but that don't mean you have to like them. You know, you think about it, you got kids, and sometimes your kids, you can dislike them at times. You love them, you die for them. But you can dislike them at times, the way they act, the way they do. And I thought about God's the same way. I mean, God loves all his children. He loves his children, sure. But he doesn't always like them. Right. You think about the way people act. And I thank God that, you know, there's some people that, I love them. I love them from a distance, but I just don't like them. And I've got folks in the church that I don't like. They come in, and I know I don't like them, but I love them. And I do show them love. I show them that because I don't. So why you don't like them? I don't like the way they're living. Right. I don't like the way they treat their families. Mm-hmm. I don't like the way they act towards other Christians. I don't like that. I don't like that. And I don't think God likes that. And you know, God does. You know, you say, well, love is stronger than like. Yeah, but you think about this. The Bible says that Abraham was a friend of God. God liked Abraham. You know, when you like somebody, you like to be around them. Yeah. You can love your family. You can love your... I know some preachers and I know some men that love their wives, but they don't like them. They'd rather go hunting with the boys or go out and run to do this and do that, but they don't like their wives. Or they don't like their... Women don't like their husbands. I'm glad my wife likes me. Amen. I'm glad she likes me. She loves me, but I'm glad she likes me. Sure. Even though I get on her nerves at times. Tomorrow night Monday morning, I'll call her up and I'll sing to her. And she'll go, oh, you're so stupid. I'll sing to her. I said, working my way back to you, babe, with a burning love inside. You know, I'm messing. She said, you're so stupid. Yeah. I said, you like it. You like it. But the Bible says, I don't know why I said that, did that. But anyway, amen. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, it says, and David assembled all the princes of Israel and the princes of the tribes and the captains of the company that ministered to the king by course. And it says the captains over thousands, captains over hundreds, and the stewards and all over all the substance and the possessions of the king and all the sons with the officers and with the mighty men and with all the valiant men on to Jerusalem. Amen. Now, we're talking about David, he got assembled. People were glad to come. When David summons them, they were glad to come. They wanted to see the king. I mean, they wanted to see David. David was liked and loved. And he was liked and loved. And the Bible says this, and then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, hear me, my brethren, and my people. As for me, I had it in mine heart to build an house for the rest of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God and had made ready for the building. But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build a house and for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. Howbeit, the Lord God of Israel chose me before the house of my father to bring me king, make me king over Israel forever. He said, man, God chose me. Now, David wasn't just bragging. He wasn't just saying that. He wasn't trying to, you know, act like he was something special, but God did choose him. He was the youngest. Y'all know the story where Samuel goes out to anoint one of Jesse's sons, and he says, don't you have any other boys here? And David was just a little kid, a young man out there taking care of the sheep. And he said, God chose me. And you know, I'm going to tell you something tonight. I'm not a Calvinist, but you think about how God chose you. You ever think about why the Lord allowed you to hear the Word of God and why you got saved? I'm not, like I said, I'm not a Calvinist. I don't believe that God sat down in ages past and said, this many people are going to go to hell whether they like it or not. This many people are going to go to heaven whether they like it or not. No, God gives you a free will that you make a choice. But I think David, when David was out there on the backside of the desert and all those things that David did, he sang to God. He had a heart for God. And we talked about that today. David had a heart. The Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. He sang to the Lord. And that's what the book of Psalms is all about. The Lord, David singing to God. And I mean, praising God for his mercy and for his goodness. And David was just a young man. I believe this. I believe a young man can get a hold of God. I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. I believe a young man. I've seen kids being at the altar praying for loved ones. And God answered their prayer. Amen. And God done something for him. But David was a man that he said, God chose me before the house of my fathers. And the Bible says, and among the sons of my father, he liked me. I want you to notice that. He liked me to make me king of all Israel. And for all my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons. He hath chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he said unto me, Solomon, thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, and I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Man, God says, I chose Solomon to be my son, and I'll be his father. Moreover, I will establish the kingdom forever. If he be instant, here's the condition. If he be instant to do my commandments and my judgments as this day. Now, therefore, in sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and the audience of our God, keep and seek all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this land, good land, and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. And the Lord search all hearts and understand all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. If thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. And we know that's happened to Israel. Therefore, take heed there now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Father, I pray, God, now you bless the message. Lord, I pray, encourage the saints. And Lord, I pray, God, save that soul nearest hell. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I mean, he's telling the congregation, God liked me. God liked me and he chose me to do this job. And I started thinking about why did God like David? Why did he like him? I mean, I want God to like me. Don't you want God to like you? Does God like you? I mean, does he like to be around you? Does he like to fellowship with you? I mean, you say, well, he said he'll never leave me nor forsake me. But I tell you what, I know that, but you know that the Bible tells us that we can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. I mean, the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God which is in you, which you have of God. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. I mean, the Bible tells you those things. And you know, and you think about, man, does God really like me? Does God want to fellowship with me? Yes, he does. He does want to fellowship with you. But does he like what you're doing? Does he like your friends? Does he like the people you hang around with? Does he like the jokes that you tell? Does he like those things? You say, well, he don't know. Oh, yeah, he knows. He knows everything. The Bible says the very hair on your head is all numbered. Some of y'all lost a lot of numbers, man. I'm telling you what, I've been losing some numbers. The older you get, numbers start falling off. But, I mean, he knows every cell in your body. He knows all the things about you. He knows your next move. And I want God to like me. I want God to say, hey, boy, that's my boy. That's my son. I like him. I like to be around him. I mean, don't you want God to be around you? Don't you want God to say, I love you, but, you know, you don't want God to say this, I love you, but I don't like you. You're my child. I love you, but I don't like you. And there's a lot of families, man. They, you know, fathers and sons, they don't like each other. They love each other, but they don't like each other. A lot of fathers, I mean moms and daughters, they don't like, they love each other, but they don't like each other. Man, don't you want them to like you? Oh yeah, you said, man, I want my family to like me. I want my family to like me. And David's telling the congregation, he says, God liked me. And why did God like him? I'll tell you why. I'll tell you a couple of reasons why God liked him. Because he was content with who he was. David was content with who he was. I mean, David wasn't trying to put on that. I know when I first got saved, I went down to Greenville, South Carolina. Every preacher that preached, I was trying to be like him. And now there's nothing wrong with trying to emulate somebody if they're doing good. But I mean, I remember walking around looking at these preachers that I was around a guy named Sammy Allen. Some of these guys know who Sammy Allen is. I was around Sammy Allen. Sammy Allen was a preaching machine. That dude, I watched that guy preach one night 3 hours. I'm sitting on the front row. And he ran back and forth across the building. He's quoting scripture the whole time. The guy memorized the whole Bible. It just seemed like, I think the whole New Testament. He ran back and forth and he'd be quoting scripture and he'd slap the wall. And he was just going back and forth. 3 hours, man. 3 hours. The church had about 300-400 people in there. And that dude preached. And I'll never forget, first time I was down south, and he was sitting on the front row. I was sitting right behind him. And man, I was sitting there and I said to John, I said, what's wrong with that dude? That dude was sitting on the front row and he was like this, shaking and everything. I said, and John said, that's the power of God. I said, that's the power of God. I don't want to be like that, man. I mean, it looked like he's having some kind of, not leprosy, but had something else going on. I'm trying to think of a word, but anyway, seizures. He's having seizures or something. But man, that dude preached for 3 hours running back and forth. And man, I thought, everybody's wore out. At the end of that thing, at the end of that whole service, I mean, everybody in the church was at the altar. Everybody. Except for 5 people. And I remember Sammy Allen going like this. He said, I guess these 5 in their seats, this is what he thought, I guess these 5 in their seats, they're probably lost. And he walked up to a guy who had long hair. He said, boy, you need to get... And grabbed the guy by his hair. I've never seen that before. I thought, man, sucker grabbed me like that. But, I mean, he grabbed him by his hair. He said, boy, you need to get saved. And the guy goes, oh, yeah, I need to get saved. I mean, 5 people got saved. Crazy, man. I thought, wow. And, man, I said, man, I'm going to be right like him. I'm going to be like him. I got around and watched the power of God in his life. I got to hang around with him a little bit. I said, man. But then I realized, and now I'm looking at their shoes. I looked at the clothes that they wear. I said, I was stupid. I mean, really, I was stupid. I didn't know. I thought, maybe it's in their shoes. Maybe the power's in their shoes. That's what it is. Maybe it's in their clothes. I mean, I was emulating the guy. I'd go buy, if he had wingtip shoes, I'd go buy wingtip shoes. I thought that was it. That's the way it's supposed to be. So anything, I was trying to be one of them. I was trying to be like them. But you know what David was? He was content with who he was. I mean, when David came out to fight Goliath that day, you think about it. David came out there and all his brothers, everybody, 48. I went in that valley. My wife and I went in the valley. Brother Glenn's wife and Brother Glenn, we all, and what's crazy, we pulled over on the side of the road and we walked out there and I said, where are we at? He said, we're in that valley where David and Goliath fought. We're looking on both sides. And there's a brook right in the middle. And so my wife went up and picked up a rock. And Betty is taller than my wife. And she said, back up, Betty. I'm going to hit you with a rock. But, man, we was in that valley. And I could picture it. I'm standing there thinking about it. They're on this side. They're on that side. And David, man, he goes out there and he hears Goliath come out here in that valley and says, give me a man that we might fight. And the man, the Bible says the Israelis, man, they backed up. They were scared to death. Why? Goliath was about 9 foot, anywhere between 9 to 13 foot tall. Can you imagine a guy come through that back door and say, ah, I'm going to kill everybody. Man, we just make doors where there are no doors. Man, and he comes out there for 40 days and screaming and yelling, give me a man. And man, David's brothers that was bigger than he was, that was stronger than he was, they should have been the ones. Saul was, the Bible says, Saul was a head taller than anybody else. And he was the king. It scared him half to death. I mean, folks, I tell you what, that had to be some kind of scene. And I think God was up there in heaven going, oh, this is going to be something, man. Wait till you see. And I don't know if any of the angels knew or anybody else knew. I know, I mean, here God saying, wait till y'all see what's going to happen here, man. This is going to be good. This is going to be something. That little boy, that little teenage boy going to tear that guy's head off. Man. And David was just content. Right? David comes out there and says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of our God. David wasn't trying to get glory for himself. What bothered him was Goliath was calling God all kinds of names, calling the Jews all kinds of names, and nobody was doing nothing about it. And he said, I'll do something about it. And his brothers got mad at him. I mean, you know, they started accusing him of his pride and all that stuff. And David said, no, man. And so they bring him up. Then Abner brings him up to Saul, and he says, this kid, he says he's going to take on that giant. And Saul said, man, boy, he said, you know what, here's the thing. He's saying if he wins, then we got to serve them. And then if we win, we can, you know, they serve us. But I don't see how in the world we're going to win, kid. I don't see how in the world we're going to do it. And David starts telling him, hey, man, I was taking care of my dad's sheep, and, man, a bear came out and a lion. I'm going to tell you something, folks. If a bear came in this room right now, we'd still vacate. If a lion came in here, we'd vacate. And David says, I took on a lion, I took on a bear. I imagine Saul was thinking, this kid's lying through his teeth. Oh, man. He's lying through his teeth. And David said, he said, here, okay, put on my armor. Saul was a head taller than anybody else. He said, put on my armor. And David puts it on. And David said, man, I haven't proved this. I haven't proved it. You know, God liked David. God, I know the Lord was up in heaven going, oh, man, this is going to be good. This is going to be good. And David says, I'm sorry, King. I can't wear this stuff. He said, boy, that man's a man of war from his youth. He said he takes on 5-10 people at a time, tears them to pieces. And you're going to take him, you got a tank? What do you got? RGP or whatever you got, you know? What do you got? Machine guns? What do you got? Oh, I got this little, I use this. That's a toy, son. It wasn't a toy. He said, man, he said, I got this sling. I took that bear down, and I took that lion down, and then I stabbed him, and I fought him hand to hand. Saul probably went, oh, boy, God, have mercy. All right, Abner, take him on. All right, let him go. And David goes out there and says, God, help me. Walks up to the brook and gets those 5 smooth stones. So why did he pick up 5? Because he had 4 brothers and cousins. David was going to take them all on. The dude didn't play no games. And that's why God liked David. God's up in heaven saying, watch this, boys. Watch this. Michael the Archangel. I love Michael the Archangel. Man, I can't wait to get to heaven to meet him. He's a bad dude. Michael the Archangel, man, I'll tell you what. When I can see Michael the Archangel saying, Lord, you want me to go down and take care of him? Let me go, Lord, no, this kid's going to take care of him. Oh, Lord, I don't know about that. Lord, I don't know about this kid. Let me go down and stick that dude. He'll take care of him one shot and one time. Michael the Archangel killed 185,000 men one night. You say, how do you know it was Michael? I know it had to be Michael. He's a killing machine. That dude is a killing machine. And see, God's got an army of angels. He's got a fighting armies of angels. He's got a praise army of angels. See, when Jesus Christ was born, he had Gabriel, and all the angels stood up and they started singing praises to God. I went up to Sights and Sounds, and I'm a little wild about things, but I went to Sights and Sounds, and they were showing the birth of Christ. And man, I'm up there, and Sights and Sounds, if you've never been there, it's a Mennonite thing where they put on skits or plays about the Bible. And I'd never been there before, and I was like a kid in a china shop, man. I was just like, wow, this is cool. And I mean, there's a couple thousand people in there, and it was a black church around us, and Pop-Pop, which was a man that lived next door to us, and we always called him Pop-Pop, and he said, preacher, I'm paying for you to go. I want you to see this. I know you're going to love it. So me and my wife went, and man, they showed, you know, the birth of Christ, and Herod comes out, and right when Herod comes out and pronounces, he pronounces, you know, kill all the children 2 years old and under in Bethlehem. And the music changed. I mean, the music changed in the place. It went dark. And then all of a sudden, they showed a guy coming off a cable down out of the ceiling. He come down and he flipping his sword. And Jesus was down there as a little child. And he flips his sword. He's coming down on Jesus like this, you know, with the sword. And I'm going, oh. Huh. Man, I was looking for a way I could go up there and tackle that dude or jump up there and grab him. And Pop, he kept looking over at me. And man, finally, out of nowhere, now I know this is going to happen. Not it didn't happen at that day when Jesus Christ was born, but out of nowhere, Michael the archangel comes out of the side of the building, and the guy, he's got his sword and hits the devil right, the guy that was playing the devil, hits him right in the chest, and fire shoots out of this guy's chest. Man, I was so into it, I stood up, I said, "Kill him! Kill him! Kill him!" Everybody started laughing. Because, I was into it. I said, "Kill that sucker!" Man, David was content with who he was. And when he went out there and he said, "You defy the armies of God," and he picked up that, and the Bible says he started running. I don't know if I would start running to the guy. Just what happens if you miss? David was so confident in God. He was content with who he was. And God knew that. That boy got a hold of God. That's why God liked David. That's one of the reasons. Does God like you? Does he like you? He said, "Oh, he loves me." You know, we sing that song. "He loves me like I was his only child. Never felt so loved before. I could never ask for more. He loves me like I was his only child." But does he like you? David was content with who he was. I'll tell you something else why God liked David. God was pleased with David for the way he handled himself. God was pleased with him. You know, the Bible says David handled himself wisely. He handled himself wisely. And man, what happened was, David was so, as a young man, it's a blessing to see young men that's wise in the sense of knowing, not trying to be cons, not trying to be deceitful, just wise, trying to do right. And David handled himself that way, and the Bible says that Saul started eyeing him because the women started singing. They started singing, man. The women started singing and caused David a big problem. They started singing, "Saul has killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s. You know what David did? He didn't go, "Yeah, that's me, baby, that's me." He didn't do that. He just went, "Oh, man, I wish they wouldn't sing that." He handled himself while he went out and came back in wisely. God liked David because of the way he handled himself. Man, David said, "God liked me and he chose me." This is at end of his life he's saying this. "God liked me." Yeah. You know what David said? David said, God said, "I had it in my heart." David says, "I had it in my heart." Look at chapter 17 of 1 Chronicles. He said, "I had it in my heart." He said, "I wanted to do something for the Lord more." And he said, "I had it in my heart." And 1 Chronicles 17, it says, "It came to pass as David sat in his house." Check this out. "As David sat in his house, David said to Nathan the prophet, 'Lo, I dwell in the house of cedar, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remained under the curtains.'" You know what David did, though? He brought that Ark of the Covenant, if you read your Bible, he brought that Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem to be close to him. Yeah. He took it out of the tabernacle. And he brought it and made a place close to him, so he wanted God close. And he said, "But I need to build the Lord a house here. I need to do something for the Lord like that." And look what the Bible says. It says, "And Nathan said unto David, 'Do all that is in thine heart, for God is with thee.' And it came to pass the same night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, 'Go and tell David, my servant, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not build me a house to dwell in, for I have not dwelt in a house since the day that I brought up Israel unto this day, but I have gone from tent to tent, from one tabernacle to another, and whatsoever I have walked, wheresoever I have walked with all Israel, spake I word to any of the judges of Israel, whom I have commanded to feed my people, saying, Why have you not built me a house of cedar?'" And he says, "I had it in my heart, I just wanted to do something for the Lord. I just wanted, build the Lord the house." He said, but then God tells him, God tells him, looking back to 1 Chronicles chapter 28, he says, verse 3, David was content with what God thought. Sometimes the Lord do things in your life that you really don't appreciate. You won't appreciate God doing stuff. Maybe contrary to what you think ought to be done. I know a guy that was an evangelist, and he was in our church, and I told him he started going deeper in debt because he was going to camp meeting after camp meeting, making, you know, not making much money, you know, trying to pay his bills. And this guy was used to having everything in order, everything right. And I'll tell you something, Lord will mess up your order too. He'll mess that up. And he had everything just right, and he wasn't making the money and all that. And he said, "What should I do? Preacher, what should I do?" I said, "Well, if you don't have the meetings, get a job on a part-time job where you can go and leave." He said, "Hey, man, for me, it's either all or nothing." I said, "Paul made tents, man. You got to be willing to yield or whatever God wants you to do. You got to be willing to yield and what, you know, and do that." He got mad at me, left our church over. The guy quit serving God over that. Now he's back in, thank God. But man, I mean, David was content with what God thought. I mean, sometimes, you know, you wonder why. We had a little girl in our church. She was 13 years old. And she was like my grandbaby. When she was a little girl, my mama would drop her off at her house and she'd come and jump in bed with us, me and my wife, and sleep with us. And she'd go around the church. She was only 2 years old, 3 years. She'd go around and tell everybody, "I sleep with the pastor." And mama said, "Don't you say that. Don't you be going around telling people that." She was like my granddaughter. All my grandkids slept with us. And this little girl at 13 years old, she said, "Preacher, I get to go to camp next year as a teenager." I said, "I know." So that year came around. She went to camp with us in Pennsylvania. And I said, "All 13-year-old girls, get up here. You 13, get up here and sing." And all the 13-year-old girls got up. I said, "Everybody give a word testimony." It came to her place and her part. She said this. She said, "God's called me that and told me I'm going to be a preacher's wife." At 13, she read her Bible. She wrote down every time I preach or anybody preach, she'd write down, pop-up preacher. I got a call one Sunday morning. They were on vacation down in North Carolina. And they said, "Preacher, pray. Chelsea's on the floor. She can't breathe." I can't even talk about it. About crying. I prayed. I said, "What's wrong?" They said, "We don't know. She's on the floor. They're trying to give her mouth to mouth and everything else." 13-year-old beautiful little girl. I said, "She's going to be all right. She's going to be all right. It's going to be fine." I got up and prayed. I said, "It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine." I get a call back 30 minutes later, an hour later. "Preacher, she's dead." I went, "No. No, that ain't true. That ain't right. She's not dead. She died." That little girl, I got a picture of her I carried with me in my vehicle and in the house and in my office. Her name was Chelsea. Her mom was faithful to church. And little Chelsea, you know, the next Sunday I said to her mama, I said, "How do you want to do the funeral?" She said, "I want to have it on Sunday morning." I said, "Okay. All right, we'll do it." I couldn't hardly talk to her. Grandfather was in our church, and he come by. He didn't have the money to go to North Carolina to be with his daughter. And I said, "Come by. I got a little bit of money. Give it to you." And he went on down to North Carolina to be with him. I got in front of the church that Sunday morning. I couldn't even talk. I couldn't do anything but cry. And I told the church, I said, "Be back tonight because I know that family. I know that family. They're going to be here. They'll be back here at church." They said, "They're in North Carolina." I said, "They'll be back. I know them. They're faithful." She still runs a bus route, the mama does. She went through cancer, breast cancer, and they, you know, all kinds of stuff she's been through. She still goes out every Saturday, knocking on doors. Little Chelsea used to go with her. And that girl, She said, we're going to have a church Sunday morning. We'll have a funeral. We had, 1,000 people there. Had them in the gym. Had them everywhere. Had 20-some people get saved. That little girl, man, that I said to the mama, I said, what do you want to do? How do you want to run the service? She said, preacher, just run it just like regular church. She said, I said, okay, what do you want to do? She said, have the choir sing. So the choir got up and sang. That mama got up in the choir and sang. She got up in the choir and sang. I'm looking at her going, my God. She got up and sang because Chelsea would stand right next to her and sing in the choir. That day, after we had the funeral, we went to the grave site. We had dinner at the church in the gym. We came back and I said, April, you need to go home and get some sleep and get some rest. She goes, no, we're having church tonight, right? Having church tonight, right? Put yourself in her place, Mama. She said, we're having church tonight, right? 6:00? I said, yeah. I said, April, you need to go home. She said, no, I'm going to be in church. So she sat back over in this corner. Man, we had church at 6:00. We was over at 7:30. Nobody moved. She didn't get up. She didn't move. We stayed there till 10:30. We just all sat there with her. I said, God, no. 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 God, no. The next Sunday morning, the bus came and April was sitting about right over here. A little girl on the front row raised her hand. I'm telling you how God's in this thing. The minutes, the things that you'll see God do, if you're looking for it. David was content with what God thought. And I mean, that Sunday morning, the little girl raised her hand on the front row, and I said to her, I said, did you raise your hand right after church? I said, honey, did you raise your hand? And she said, yes, I want to be saved. April's sitting right there, and the girl's sitting right here. And I said, what's your name, honey? She said, Chelsea. I looked at April. I said, how old are you, honey? She said, 13. April's tuned in. Just buried her baby. I said, April, would you like to lead Chelsea to the Lord? She said, I sure would. And got up and led Chelsea to the Lord. I never seen that girl again. I'm telling you, folks, you just got to be content with what God does, what God thinks. There's things going to happen in our lives that we don't know, we don't understand. Before I was saved, I remember going out, my brother got killed. I said, you blankety blank, if you're up there, I even said, if I could drag you out of heaven, all kinds of crazy stuff. But man, I don't understand sometimes what God does. I don't understand, but I know I can trust Him. Amen. I know I can trust Him. You know what David did? David trusted Him. David said, okay, God, if I can't build the house for you, I can prepare for it. If you'll let me prepare for it, and that's what David did. And God says, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll let your son build it. Why God liked David? That's one of the reasons. Because David was content with what God thought. I'll tell you something else. Why God liked David, and I'm going to have to hurry. God liked David because he had a courageous spirit. Man, you know what David did? He infected other men. David infected other men. David had such a courageous spirit. They watched him that day when David went in that valley by himself. Sometimes you've got to go in a place by yourself. And David went in that valley by himself. While everybody's standing on one side and they're standing on the other side. Everybody's watching. And David goes down and he's by himself. And he goes, and that man hits that giant upside the head, right in the head. You know, they the helmets, right after that, you see all the movies they've made the helmets and they put a nose guard. You know why? Because of David.
Sure.
Because of David. David hit that dude right between the eyes. I believe this. I believe God was sitting there going, watch this, boys, up in heaven. And so watch this. And as soon as that stone went, and that stone was going through the air, that stone, as David swung that thing, you said, wow, that stone wasn't screaming. The Bible says the stones, Jesus said, the stones would cry out. Here's something else, man. You think about this. You think about that Bible says when Jesus comes back, all the trees are going to clap their hands. Man, we're going to see nature come unglued.
Yeah, sure. Thank you.
Nature's going to be shouting it out. What's that? Y'all ever say amen?
Amen.
David had a courageous spirit.
Amen.
And David, man, you know what? He infected these other men. You read that. I don't have time to read that whole story about those mighty men. I read about those mighty men. I said, I would love to have those mighty men and put them as a front line for some football team. Those mighty men. He said, you know, they weren't big as the guys probably now. I don't know. They could have been. But those mighty men, man, they would beat that tar and they'd take people's heads off. David had some men that jumped down in the lion's den, down in the middle of some winter time, jumped down into a hole with a lion.
Right.
You're not right in your head. You're just not right. You know what an African lion weighs, about 500 pounds.
Sure.
I don't know. You know, maybe they're lying 300 to 500 pounds. You got to be out of your mind to jump down in the pit on a snowy day and fight a lion. Hey, guys, watch this. Man. And I could talk about some of the other men. I never forget when the first time I ever preached, I preached a message on David's mighty men. I preached on that because that's why I named my son Samson. I remember Oliver Green preaching. I was listening. I was driving a trash truck, and I'm listening to Oliver Green driving around. And Oliver Green preached a series on Samson, and the first series was what great things Samson did. And I thought, that's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna name my son Samson. It's Samson. Yeah, Samson. I went home and told my wife his name's gonna be Samson. And then a couple days later, I heard about all the wicked stuff that Samson did. I went, oh God, what did I do to that boy? What did I do to him? Somebody said, you met Samuel, didn't you? Didn't you meet Samuel? I said, no, Samson. But David had a courageous spirit. And I mean, he had a cousin named Joab. And Joab and his brothers, they were some mighty men. And the Bible describes them in the mighty men. But David had a courageous spirit. I mean, brother, he didn't back down. He didn't back up. You know, David never lost a battle. The only battle he ever lost was Bathsheba. He never lost a battle. I mean, you think, how many men that when God said to David, you're not going to build the temple because you shed a lot of blood. I mean, that he had to do some fighting. That had to be a lot of hand-to-hand, eyeball-to-eyeball, blood splattering everywhere, all over you. He wasn't no sissy. I'm telling you what, God said, that boy's got a courageous spirit. Man, he's something. You know why God liked David? Because David liked God. You like God? You like God? I mean, man, he's your father. He's your savior. I know right after I got saved, I went to a bar. I was getting ready. I mean, I was trying to live for God, but I was kind of messed up here and there. I was just, for the first year after I was saved, I was up and down, up and down, up and down. And I'll never forget, I was trying to win my friends to the Lord. And if you go back around your old friends, you can get in trouble. And we used to fight for money, fist fight, in the bars, and see who could knock who out. And I'll never forget, I went back to my old buddies, and I was hanging around with those guys, and I was in the pool room, and I'm sitting in there, and I started drinking with those guys. Because the devil got me, he said, hey, you ain't afraid of beer, are you? I said, I ain't afraid of nothing, man. That was stupid. And I started drinking, and I remember sitting there, and the gang used to be with me, they set me up a fight. And I knew the Holy Spirit, I thought I was going nuts because I didn't know nothing about the Holy Ghost of God inside you. The Spirit of God is inside you. And I'm sitting in the bar stool, and I'm sitting there, and the Holy Spirit of God is saying, get out of here, get out of here, get out of here, get out of here. I thought I was going crazy. I said, man, what in the world? I'm sitting at the bar. Everybody's saying, yeah, you can take this guy. I'm going, man, what in the world, man? And I found that I got up, and I started heading for the door. Everybody got up to follow me around the back. And I remember I got out the door. Everybody went right. I went left. I started walking home. And the guy said, hey, man, around here. I said, no, man. I said, I got saved. I walked back up. I said, I got saved, man. I can't do this. I can't do this stuff no more, man. I got saved. God changed my life. And I'm telling them about it. And they said, you're a chicken. I walked back. I said, I ain't no chicken, man. I said, y'all know me. I ain't no chicken. But I said, but God, something's wrong with me. Something wrong. I don't understand. Something's inside me telling me to go. I was about half drunk, and I knew I couldn't fight when I was drinking. And I'll never forget, I walked home, and I fell in a ditch, and it started raining. I'm laying in the ditch and looking up towards the sky going, God, my Father, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, God. I got home, my girlfriend, which was my wife now, as soon as I walked in the door, she hit me upside the head with a hammer. That's another story in itself. David liked God. A story came to my mind. I can tell. I'll tell you something else, though, why God liked David. David didn't do anything half-heartedly.
Amen.
When it comes to God.
Amen.
It wasn't half-heartedly. And when David did something for God, it was all the way, man. You know that's Bible. The Bible says in the New Testament, in Revelation, the Lord said, I'd rather for you be hot or cold.
Yeah,
said, if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Yeah. You know, I found in most Christian churches, I mean, you say, do you ever get lukewarm? Oh, yeah, we all do. I'd be a liar to stand up and say, I'm always on fire. No, it's a lie. But God wants you to be hot for him. And David didn't do anything half-heartedly. So what do you mean? When David brought the Ark of the Covenant in, the Bible says he danced before the Lord. It wasn't an African dance. It wasn't, you know, all the junk shaking your body and all that. He was leaping and jumping and praising God. And he did it with all, the Bible says he did it with all his might. They're bringing the Ark, the music's playing, and David's going, yeah, go on! He did it with all his might.
Amen.
And then God Uzzah touched that Ark of the Covenant and killed him. And David went, oh, my. He didn't understand that. And then finally he started checking out the Bible or Word of God. And they said, hey, the Levites has got to carry that thing.
Yeah.
Man, he said, it was down in... Well, I'm trying to think of the guy's name right now. Y'all help me out. What was the name? He took it aside to Obed-Edom. That's who it was. Obed-Edom. And then David said, it was down there for 3 months, I believe it was. And David said, God's blessing his house. And David said, man, we need to bring that thing up. We need to get it out of there. So he says, get the Levites. They had to carry it. And you know what David did? He did the same thing. And started, man, praising God, shouting. His wife started mocking him. But he did it with all his heart. Man, what a thing. God liked that. God likes it when you do something for him like that. Man, David did it. He didn't do it half-heartedly. I'll tell you the last thing. Why God liked David. And this is a big one. This is probably the best one. Why God liked David? Because David was a good repenter. So what do you mean? When David sinned and Nathan the prophet came in, Nathan was the one that told him, said, do whatever in your heart to build the house of God. And God tells Nathan, you go tell David, I know about that.
Yeah.
And Nathan comes in there and says, hey, David, king, there was a man that had a little ewe lamb. And there was a man that had a bunch, but he went and took his little ewe lamb. And David got so mad, even in sin, David righteously judged. And he said, that guy's going to pay fourfold. That's according to law. He said, man, he said, he's going to die. David was pronouncing judgment on himself.
Yeah.
And Nathan said, you're the man. You know what David could have done? If you read your Bible, you'll find some kings, and when the prophet came in, they killed him.
Yeah.
David could have said, off with his head. What David did, he repented. And when David came down to the question where he numbered the people and God gave him a choice, said three things can happen. You read your Bible. Three things can happen. You can fall into the hands of your enemy. You can have famine, all that. You know what David said? He trusted God so much, he said, I want to fall into the hands of God. Let him make that decision. David was a good repenter. I'd say, man, you got something in your life not right between you and the Lord, repent quickly. Get it right with God. You better. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. Nathan tells him, said, you're not going to die, but it's going to cost you 4 children. David, repent. Why God like David? Let me ask you something. God like you? I want him to like you. I want him to like me. I know he loves us, but I want him to like me. Wouldn't it be something you get to heaven and the Lord said, man, I was watching you, and he is. The eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth. I was watching you see how you handle things. I like that. I like what you did. You listened to me. You were led by the Spirit of God. You listened to me. Good. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I like that. You know, you say, does God like some things? Oh, yeah. God hates some things. The Bible tells you that. He hates some stuff. And you better find out what God hates and what God likes, and you better, you know, get on board. Get on board what God likes and what he hates. David says, God liked me. Boy, that's a great thing. Put me in place. He chose me. God liked David because he was a good repenter. And I'm going to tell you something. Repentance is in the Bible.
Yes, sir.
Those 7 churches in Revelation, only 2 of them were told. The Lord didn't tell them not to repent. 5 others, he tells them, you better repent. I pray for our church. I say, God, if there's something in our church you don't like, show me. Help us to get it right. If there's something I'm doing wrong, show me. Because I want you to like me. I want you to like to be around us. I want you to like to be there. I know the Spirit of God. I know the Holy Ghost. I know all that. But the Holy Ghost is God. Does God like you? Let's bow our heads. Father, we love you. We thank you for your mercy. Thank you, God, for the testimony of David, his life. My Father, I pray, God, that you'd help us, Lord, to be more like him when it comes to the Bible. It says David was a man after God's own heart. And I know in the millennium, David's going to reign. I know that. And the Bible talks about the sure mercies of David because you liked him. And God, you put him in the place that he was in. And my Father, I pray, God, you'd help us to be liked by thee. And Lord, I know you love us, but I know there's a lot of things you don't like in our lives. And there's something tonight, God, that you don't like in our lives. And help us to repent over it, Lord. Help us to get it right. Help us not to be proudful or be stiff-necked like the Bible tells people not to be. I pray, oh God, we wouldn't be stiff-necked, Lord God. We would repent over that thing. And I pray, God, help us, Lord. Help us, oh God, to be liked of thee for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. Let's all stand to our feet for a second. You need to come to the altar. You need to come down. Come on. Make a way. If you don't do it now, you probably won't do it when you get home. If you need to come, you come on. Take a few minutes and pray and talk to God. Like I said, God liked David because he was a good repenter. Does God like you? Does God like what you're doing? Does he like your friends? Does he like what you do in life? I mean, are you putting on an act? Are you putting on a show? Are you just kind of here because your family's here? I mean, why don't you get real, man? Why don't you get real with God? God sees your heart. He knows it. He knows it. Come on, man. You ain't fooling God. You can fool people, but you ain't fooling God. Does God like you? Does he like you? Do you want God to like you? You say, well, I'm his child. Yeah? Like I said before, a lot of people have children. They love them, but they don't like them. Does God like you? You need to come tonight. Come on. Don't wait. Don't wait. Come on. If you're not saved, you need to come. If you're not saved, please, don't put it off, man. Don't put it off. Right now is the time. When the invitation is given, that's the time to move. I've seen people doing their services in the middle of the service. They start walking down the aisle, getting right. Hey, man, you can get right. You say, well, I'll just do it right here in my seat. You know what you're doing? If you come down, you can encourage somebody else to do it, but also you're showing your humbleness before God. You know what David did? He humbled himself. For you to get help from God, you got to humble yourself. The Bible says God resists the proud, but he giveth grace to the mercy. I mean to those seeking for mercy. Man, does God like you? Amen. Does God like you? Come on now. You need to come. If you've never been to an altar, you need to come. Said, oh, I don't know about all that. Well, that's an altar is scriptural in the Bible. It's scriptural. If you've never been down to an altar, I tell people all the time, bring your family, man. Bring your whole family. Talk to God. You got troubles? You got trials in your life? Come before the Lord. Get your family together. Come on. Deal with God. I'm going to tell you something. God liked David because David dealt with things. God will deal with you. Don't put it off. Amen.